Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and it's finally here. It's Down Under Week. We're headed to Australia for this year's President's Cup, and we've assembled the team once again to break this whole thing down. So let's bring them in. On the line, we've got Kyle Porter. Are you ready, sir, for long nights and kangaroos?
that caught me off guard. Yeah, I am. I've got a grounds crew outside my my shed right now. If anybody knows, I do these from my shed. I write from my shed. So if anybody hears that while we're taping, I apologize in advance. But yeah, I'm ready for some kangaroos and some. It's like I don't know what it is. It's not coffee golf. It's like wine golf, but like two. I don't know. I don't know what it is. We're gonna be up late this week.
Yeah, and they're getting the grounds outside the shed ready, just like they're getting Royal Melbourne ready right now as we speak. And let's also bring in Mark Immelman. I know this is a great week for you. It's a great week for all of us. How will you be consuming the President's Cup in the next couple of days?
Well, truth, I'll be consuming the President's Cup. And Kyle, I just want to check. It's not Mark Leishman outside your house. I mean,
last time I checked, no. But they do have those, you know, those things at Augusta where they like sweep the, like get the leaves off the green or get the sand off the greens, those like whip looking things. I think they got a few of those with the leaves. So we're good. We're good over here.
Big time. I'm going to actually be, Rick, on the, PGA Tour Live feature groups coverage of the President's Cup, so I'll be I won't be having wine, that's for certain. But down in Punta Vedra in the headquarters there, the entertainment headquarters, and looking forward to being a part of the call and sort of being the international correspondent, I guess, given that a few American guys are my fellow announce colleagues.
I love it. Well, we'll certainly be tuning in to you, Mark. Looking forward to seeing you over there. So let's jump into this. I mean, we've talked a lot about the President's Cup over the past, I mean, going back 5 weeks when the captain's picks were made, but it's here. We'll go through kind of the schedule of events that are going to happen because, you know, we need a little refresher since we only kind of get this format a couple times every, you know, we get it the Ryder Cup, we get it the President's Cup, but we're going to start on Thursday in Australia, which is Wednesday night here stateside, which is I will continue to use the United States time zones moving forward. We'll start with four ball matches, which, you know, is really just the opportunity for every golfer to play their own ball. Lowest score wins. That's the whole. Friday will be foursomes, which, you know, is I guess more commonly known for the non-President's Cup crew as alternate shot. Then we'll do four ball and foursomes again on Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon, culminating with the Sunday singles, where everyone gets to finally play, you know, no team format, gets to play one-on-one versus their opponent. And there are 30 points available here, so 1 point for a win, half point for a tie. And if they do finish this 15 all, they share the cup. Kyle, if you are in charge of this first move, you'd make this like a tiebreaker, or, you know, the team who had it retains it, right? We can't have ties in this.
Yeah. I agree. And I think the Ryder Cup does. I think the thing for me that's so interesting is you've got 30 points available, which is, you know, the fewer points available, the more chance an underdog has, right? Like if there's only one match that you can play, the international team has a much better shot. I wish they would reduce that down even more, maybe 24, maybe 28. I realize you're reducing the amount of golf you have, but I think that would kind of help the event as a whole right now.
Well, I think that's interesting because we've kind of talked about the international side and the run that they've been on, only winning the President's Cup once, tying it on another occasion. So, you know, opening up the range of outcomes might be beneficial to this international team. Mark, I think that's a good place to pass this over to you. With these different formats, you know, four ball versus foursomes, there are certainly some players that I imagine will enjoy playing their own ball. Alternate shot format is challenging. There's a lot of communication involved. A lot of it might depend on which type of ball you're actually playing. They might, you know, partner up the Titleist guys together. Can you kind of just discuss some of the intricacies between, you know, four ball foursomes and how they might go about pairing these guys for these situations?
Well, first off, you're so right, Rick, that the alternate shot, the foursomes format is very difficult. You know, at the outset, anyone's like, well, we're going to play alternate shot. This is easy. But there's an emotional element that's brought to bear when you like this, because obviously there's high pressure on every shot, and the margins on a firm and fiery golf course like Royal Melbourne will be are very, very fine. So if you're on your own ball and you miss a shot, then you're like, okay, it's okay. I've got the next shot at least. But when you're over a shot and you don't want to leave your partner in the proverbial doo-doo, it brings a little extra to this thing. So, you know, the golf ball, these guys, they can fit around that pretty well. And let's say you use Titleist and I use Bridgestone. When I have the tee, I can use my Bridgestone golf ball. Or when you have the tee, you can use your Titleist. So you're not relegated to just one ball throughout the match. So that's a key factor to bear in mind. But from the international's point of view, this alternate shot, I just don't think they've paired off well in the past, and it's not because people haven't had matching games. It's just because, in my opinion, they haven't had matching personalities, really. Whereas this year's addition of the team, Sung Jae-im, Ben Ahn, I have to believe they'll play together. Cam Smith, Mark Leishman, they've, you know, threatened in the World Cup together. Adam Scott, Hideki Matsuyama have played together in a previous President's Cup. And you've got natural pairings here. So I think you not just have guys whose games sort of match each other. You've got that element of comfortability, like with the two Koreans. You know, they can use they speak in their own language, and they can effectively shut out the competition and whatever else in so doing. So it's an uncomfortable format. It places pressure on one. And so having a guy by your side who you know well, who, like the Americans, they play practice rounds together, that is a pretty big deal. And for the first time, and certainly my recollection, the internationals have a situation like that.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I want to follow up, because this is one of the things that I always consider, because you mentioned it, Mark. You said, you know, if I play a Titleist and you play a Bridgestone, I can hit a Titleist off the tee. But what I've actually heard these guys do, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is whoever's going to be hitting the second shot, they want to be playing their own ball. And my assumption around this is that, you know, hitting a full swing out of ideally the fairway and trying to control the spin and things like that, that second shot might be the most important to know what your ball is going to do. I don't want to drag this whole thing down into the weeds on my little, personal, you know, adventure here, but what do you think about that?
No, you're spot on, Rick, absolutely. And especially at Royal Melbourne, where the conditions are always firm, the greens are devilish, man. If you're above some of these hole locations, you've got nary a chance of two-putting. So being able to control the trajectory windy conditions, because there are a number of holes there. They're pretty close to the coastline where there's some cross breezes. So keeping the flat under control, certainly managing the spin for the ball's reaction on the greens, a big time deal. So approach shots, third shots, it's very important. Really, Royal Melbourne off the tee is pretty wide open, because it's a Mackenzie design. We'd like to give you options off the tee, Dr. Alistair Mackenzie. So you can play the safe route, but if you do, it'll make your second shot a little harder. So it's not going to put as much pressure on the driver, in my opinion, unless the wind really kicks up. It's definitely going to be a second and third shot golf course. So playing the ball with which you're comfortable in alternate shot is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, interesting stuff. So let's talk a little bit about Royal Melbourne, and it's, you know, it's an old course founded in 1891. There are actually a few courses over there. The West Course, regularly ranked as one of the top courses in the world. It's hosted 18 Australian Opens, the 1998, 2011, and now the 2019 President's Cup. So Kyle, when I was going through, you know, the previews on the President's Cup website, to me, it looked like, you know, some We've got some blind tee shots. It looks like there's going to be a lot of strategy involved here. It looks like there's multiple ways to play a lot of these holes. When you were doing your research around Royal Melbourne, did you kind of get that same type of feel, or do you think there is a specific skill set that can find success this week?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think the former is true, and the reason that it's true is because it's going to be firm and it's going to be fast. And when you have firm and fast, and you have a very nuanced course, it creates decisions that you have to make, right? And it creates this dichotomy of like, well, we could do this based on what the match is right now, or if on the 17th we're up two, you know, we're up one, we could do this. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
I want a stopwatch on it because I don't want to watch it all day. But in match play with the best players in the world, I want that strategy and that decision making. But all that having been said, I think what a lot of that means, and we've talked about this a little bit with the course, but it's fairly open. And I think fast and firm means great iron play, right? It means being able to stick a 6-iron, a 5-iron, a 7-iron from distance, not necessarily next to the hole, but where you want it on the green to have a run at birdie. So I think it's a little bit of both. And I think, you know, we always holler about, man, I wish they'd play some of these match play events, these team events on better courses. This is one of the best courses in the world. And I think, because it's firm and fast, which I'm glad they did, and there's an article in Reuters that talked about how Tiger and Ernie were pushing for that, which I'm really glad for. And that's not a surprise because those guys are firm and fast players. But because of all that, I think we're going to see a really interesting event this week.
Well, you made a point that I hadn't even considered, and I guess it would have dawned on me as they would have been out there playing. But what you're alluding to, Kyle, is because you can play this course of various ways, where you're at in the match almost might dictate how you're going to play it. So there might be more risk-reward tee shots that you want to take on if you're down a hole, or, hey, you might take a conservative route if you're, you know, you're dormy or something like that. That's what you're alluding to, correct, which I think is a really awesome point of this course.
Yeah, which is great news for the international team, right, because you're going to have opportunity. You go and play a point and shoot course, and it's like, well, you're going to get smoked by Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson, right? Like, that's not going to happen. But you go play a course where it's risk reward, and maybe you take on a couple of holes in the first five, and all of a sudden you're two up, and it changes the entire, I think, feel of the event. And I think that's a great thing, not just for the international team, but for the event as a whole as well.
Yeah, and Mark, I really, this is another thing that we hear, you know, every 2 years, right? Whether it's at the President's Cup or at the Ryder's Cup at the Ryder Cup, it's one of these things where we always hear, you know, the home team, quote, gets to set up the course or something to that effect, right? And I guess for the listening audience, tell us what that means. What are they actually able to do course condition wise? And is it a big deal that they can maybe potentially set it up towards their player's skill set? Just kind of walk us through that.
Well, they certainly can. And we've seen the Europeans do this, almost a masterstroke, if you will, how they've set up their golf courses when the Ryder Cup has been held in Europe. Like in France last year, there was some very narrow fairways, some thick rough, so it placed a premium on driving accuracy, which invariably is the Americans' bugaboo. Americans, largely off the tee, are longer and more powerful than the European stars are. So there's one. And then speeds of greens and receptiveness of greens is entirely a different deal too. And so whenever you go to Europe for a Ryder Cup, you're going to expect slow greens, which basically whips up on the American folks, because on the PGA Tour, you know, average green speeds are around the 12.5 clip, and then you get up into sort of 13 plus in the major championships, where at the Open Championship, for argument's sake, because of winds and such, you're lucky to see speeds of 11. So green speeds are a big deal in how the course is set up. Now, as it pertains to Royal Melbourne, it's this composite course between the east and the west. You know, there's a mixture of long and short holes, and all of them are very linksy. Bunkering defines this golf course. Now, you can't necessarily grow the rough in very much because it's like native fescue grass. It's wide fairways. That's just how it's going to be. It's right out there in front of you. The green speeds, they are going to be fast just because they're going to get baked in the sun. There's a lot of humps and hollows and slopes and undulations and such. And And so you better be good out of a bunker, and you better be good at lag putting, and you better be good sort of controlling the distance of the golf ball. So as far as I'm concerned, the only thing that plays into the home team's advantage here is it's kind of got that Lynx feel to it. You know, it's you got to flat the ball down. You got to play the thing on the ground a little bit more, whereas in the United States, it's more an aerial game with typically not very much wind that's blowing.
Yeah, well, those are certainly not my skill sets. So lucky for the U.S., I'm not on that roster this week. But Tiger Woods is as a playing captain for the U.S. side, first time since 1994 when Hale Irwin did the same thing. And you know, we've talked kind of all week and going back to the captain's picks, that this international team is a pretty formidable underdog. Las Vegas also agrees with that sentiment. But what I want to do now is kind of make a case for why this international team is going to win or how they're going to win. So I have a couple of thoughts on this, and this is something that we've chatted about in terms of just opening up the range of outcomes. These rookies and seven of them on the team, guys like Joaquin Niemann, who are, you know, kind of feast or famine type players, if they get hot for 5 days, can kind of be that key to victory. So I do think between that and maybe some question marks around someone like a Dustin Johnson, who the U.S. team would have expected to rely on, or Tiger Woods, who might not play as much because he is shouldering the captain's role as well. I do think there is a window for the international team to find victory here. But Kyle, I want to hear your case for the international team finding a way to raise the cup at the end of this.
Well, I think I alluded to it a little bit earlier. It's elite iron play on a course where it favors risk reward. And you know, I think the U.S. is going to come out with a pretty good strategy, but if they are meek at all, if they are, you know, not as aggressive as maybe we're used to seeing them, you know, they could go out and get beat by a Hideki and Ben On team or a Adam Scott and Mark Leishman team. I think the other thing, there's not like, I know we've talked a lot about how like, oh, well, there's more talent on the U.S. side, and that's certainly true, but there's not like these huge liabilities on the international side. I get maybe CT Pan if you want to go there, but like other than that, is there anybody, Haotong Lee, I think is a really good player. It just, there's not guys that are ranked like outside the top, you know, 100 or 150 that you're like, what are we doing here? You know? So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think the risk reward part of it in terms of the way the course is going to be set up is super interesting. And I think that alone combined with, I mean, you go down the list, Mark Leishman, great tee to green, Hideki, unbelievable tee to green, Louis, great tee to green, Adam Scott, tee to green. And then even some of their captain's picks and Ben On, Sung J.M. These are Joaquin Niemann's top 25 on the PGA Tour tee to green. So these are, really impressive guys from tee to green. You know, if they take some of those holes on early, anything can happen, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up CT Pan because, Las Vegas kind of agrees with you in terms of, his contributions to this international team. He's 35-1 to be the top scorer on the international team. The next worst odds are Adam Hadwin at 18-1. So very rare to see someone kind of well below the rest of his team down there. There could be a lot of factors, including, you know, how much Vegas thinks he's actually going to tee it up. So I'll tee this up for you, Mark. I mean, you are our appointed international correspondent here, right? I mean, we've talked about trying to captain an underdog team and what you would say to them in the locker room. And what is it that you're saying to these guys, and how can the internationals pull off this victory?
Well, if we just start with CT Pan, if I'm Captain Ernie Els, I'm walking up to him in the locker room and saying, big guy, you won at the RBC Heritage, which is a narrow golf course. You've got to position your tee shots. The greens are small. There are lots of undulating. We all know how Harbortown Hilton Head is a really demanding sort of a golf course, and that is right up CT Pan's alley. The breezes blow there. You've got to flat the golf ball down. He's got that gear. He's diminutive. And he plays a lower sort of a game than the United States guys do. So it's a situation where if he gets over the nerves, I think he'll have a field day of it down there. But the internationals, in my opinion, for them to have success, they need their stars to line up and play well. Adam Scott, who's never been on a winning team, has to have a winning record. Hideki Matsuyama has to have a winning record. Louis Oosthuizen, who has played well in past editions, has to have a great record, and as does Mark Leishman. Now, Kyle mentioned Adam and Leish. I guarantee you're going to see a healthy dose of Mark Leishman and Cam Smith together, yeah, who are a dynamite combination. So I think if those leading guys, Scott, Hideki, Leishman, and Louis, if they get out and they lead from the front and they get some points on the board early, that'll free up the rookies. And if the rookies feel like, you know, every point matters, we all know that, but if they feel like there's not as much pressure on them and they can just freewheel, you know, there's nothing like a free swinging golfer. I don't care what your world ranking is. So if I'm Captain Ernie Els, it's about getting my front guys to get going. I put them out early in four balls. I nail down these combinations and I get guys comfortable as much as you can given the environment. And you just go say, big guy, you're playing Tiger Woods for the day. You know what? If you make more putts than him, you're earning us a point. And so get out there and go and get it.
Yeah, I really like the idea of getting out front and to make a transition into some of those pairings, because the Leishman Cam Smith one I think is super interesting. Cam Smith has won back-to-back Australian Opens. These guys played to a T2 in last year's World Cup. I mean, I don't know of a more another pairing on this international team, Kyle, that I would be more comfortable with. You know, I can throw Adam Scott with almost anybody because I think he can kind of take them under his wing and be a really good veteran presence. But that Leishman Cam Smith potential pairing to me is like, lock it up, get them out there early, get them out there often, and see how many points these big boys can bring you. So let's look at some of these U.S. guys. Kyle, there is a few that I think could play together. We talked about Justin Thomas and Tiger Woods potentially playing together, but what I actually think is going to happen is the Fowler-Justin Thomas pairing, given that we know how close they are. They had success at Liberty National. To me, that is a slam dunk for these guys that are going to play together. Would you agree?
Hey, good point on Cam Smith, by the way. Did you like our response to that?
Yeah, it was beautiful. I just moved on.
Yes, I agree with you about Fowler and JT. I think it's going to be interesting because I hope Tiger, and I know we've said this, but I haven't said it this specifically. I hope he gets himself out of the way. He's going to want to play with JT. They're friends or I don't know, whatever. They play together a lot. I hope he just kind of gets himself out of the way and lets the thing just kind of lets it go. I think what's going to be interesting is you got some guys on this team that who knows, but like you sort of look at them and you're like, does anybody want to play with this guy?
Bryson?
Yeah. Like, where do you put Bryson? Where do you put Patty Reed? You know, like I don't know. Maybe you put them together and just have the all heel team or something like that. I think that would be fascinating, but you know, the guy that I hope Tiger pairs himself with at least once, if not a couple of times, is Gary Woodland. I think they have a really good rapport. I think, you know, the demeanor there would be really good. But yeah, I think Fowler JT is going to be one of your premium pairings. I'm interested to see what they do with DJ. Does he play every session like he would normally? There's a lot of stuff you can do here with the number of ball strikers that you have. I think Webb is going to be somebody that a lot of guys want to play with. You know, he's just, he's right down the middle. He makes a ton of putts. I think he's a good dark horse for most points on the U.S. team this year.
I like Webb Simpson a lot. There was a stat, I wish I knew who had it so I could credit this, but, there was a tweet out there that said, you know, Simpson has finished basically in the top 20 of every strokes gained category except off the tee, making him like, okay, there's so many great guys off the tee here, someone like a Tony Finau, where these guys could probably just go out there and shred Royal Melbourne. So I do think Webb Simpson is interesting. Mark, Kyle kind of alluded to this a little bit, and I think that Bryson – And we talked about how flexible and how pliable and how pairable some of these guys have been, especially in like an alternate shot format where Bryson is so different or seemingly so different from a lot of these guys. Trying to pair him, like, I'm not sure he even plays in the alternate shot just because he's going to have a very specific partner with him that can kind of handle him, don't you think?
Well, yeah. Kyle, you're fully off the Bryson and Patrick Reed Christmas card list, by the way. Bryson and Tiger have played well together. They've played together in Ryder Cups. They play practice rounds together. Yeah, you know, Tiger, JT are buddies and such now, but it would be ludicrous if they split Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas.
Yeah.
But to the Bryson thing, I think he's imminently pairable. I really do, because, you know, you got a guy who's pretty accurate with the iron game. You know what you got with him around the greens, and he's an underrated putter to me. And I'll tell you one thing, you know, someone who's played the game at a pretty high level and someone who's taught some really good golfers in my day, I don't care how much I dislike the guy. If he is hitting shots close, I'm loving him. All right. So whereas with the internationals, you've got language barriers and stuff. Yeah, you've just got sort of, yeah, I kind of don't like you in the locker room, but you know what? We're both wearing American flags in our chest right now. Let's put this stuff behind us and let's just get out and go and make birdies. So yeah, it's sort of, I think there's conversation to be had about, you know, groups that work together. Now, I think Tiger and Matt Kuchar would be a dynamite combination. They have been before. So they'll fit Bryson with someone, and I wouldn't be surprised if, granted, he didn't play that well last week, but you know he was experimenting with stuff, I bet you, golf ball-wise and golf club-wise, to make sure he gets the most out of the conditions down in Australia that he's going to face. I wouldn't be surprised if he sees at least 4 or 5 sessions.
Yeah, if I was in charge, instead of playing one ball, they should have to play the same clubs. I'd love to see Tiger try to hit those one-length clubs. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Well, my concern with Bryson is that he's not going to know in the weight room whether it's going to be kilograms instead of pounds in Australia, I think. So I don't know if he's going to know which ones to pick up.
Yeah, he's going to be in big trouble.
I saw the funniest t-shirt the other day. A friend of mine was becoming an American citizen and a buddy was invited to the party there, and this guy showed up with the t-shirt that says, there are two types of countries. Those that landed people on the moon and those that use the metric system of metric.
And there's a strong correlation between those. That's awesome. Cool. Well, we do have to talk about is Patrick Reed, because, as I kind of thought, you know, it's Patrick Reed. He had the issue with the cheating or the, you know, improving the lie unintentionally situation at the Hero World Challenge. And I was kind of in the mindset of, okay, it's President's Cup week. This might just blow over a little bit, but, it kind of hasn't, because a couple of pros have spoken out about this. Most notably, a guy that is, wouldn't you love to see Cam Smith paired with Patrick Reed on Sunday? Because Cam Smith was pretty direct on this. He said he has no sympathy for anyone that cheats. Mark, that is about as direct as you can get about this, don't you think?
And you know what? When I saw this, knowing Cam Smith as I do, he's feisty, don't get me wrong, but he's very softly spoken and he's always quick with a smile and very courteous. So when this came out, I was like, dang, is someone, would the real Cam Smith please step up? So I was like, wow. And I don't think if they had to face each other in singles, and that's one of the beauties about this President's Cup, is the coaches sit over from each other and you put a name down and the opposing coach puts a name down. So, I don't know, maybe Captain Ernie Els goes, well, yeah, you put Reed down, I'm coming at you with Cam Smith. But I don't think it's going to be the sort of situation where it will be McIlroy and Reed, like at Hazeltine, when they're both lightning rods for the team and there's a bunch of competitive animosity on the go. I think Cam's made his statement. I think some of it was just to create a little stir around the place and grab a headline or two, because, you know, if you like that, you can sometimes be one up on the first tee. Now, the one thing about Patrick Reed, this guy revels in that sort of bulletin board sort of stuff. So I found it curious. I found it amusing. I thought it was out of character for Cam Smith, but man, roll on Thursday. I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, that my first take was kind of the same thing, Mark, which is, like Patrick Reed, I think he embraces being the heel. I think he's fine with that bulletin board material. I don't think you want to give him any of that. I would be a giddy little schoolgirl if on Sunday it's Cam Smith and Patrick Reed going up against one another. So Kyle, I mean, Rory also talked about this. He actually kind of walked it back a little bit and said, you know, he didn't think it would be a big deal if it wasn't Patrick Reed, which I understand what he's saying. Patrick Reed has this aura around him. He's had these similar type allegations in the past. He's just not necessarily one of the more popular golfers around. Do you agree with Rory here? I'm not sure I do.
No, I mean, I agree with, so I think the reason that Rory said that is he doesn't want the headline of like, you know, Rory says Reed is a cheat or, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like that's not a thing that he wants to deal with over Christmas. But I think that, I mean, he sort of is highlighting the point that I made last week, or a couple days ago, which is just the benefit of the doubt thing. Like yeah. you don't really get it anymore, man. Like you've spent all the capital that you have in the benefit of the doubt account and there's none left. And so I just think that, did you see what Fowler said, by the way, about
no,
this?
No, I didn't.
He said something along the lines of, I don't know why they're even reviewing it. Like insinuating that it was such an obvious, that it was such an obvious thing that it's like, why is there even a video review of what's going on? Like I kind of agree with that. Like,
right.
I mean, if you watch the video, we can talk about camera angles or whatever. It's like, man, you like scoop sand, like a lot of it for like, yeah. I don't know. I agree with Mark though about Cam Smith. Every time I've been around Cam Smith, he's very, just to himself and just kind of does his own thing. So for him to say that, I think is, I don't know if it's like shots fired before the event, but it's certainly going to be a talking point within the international team room.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
Just because remember, he is a rookie. So the internationals got together and like, all right, big guy, you, the guy's going to say something about this and we're going to defend our seniors. Remember, there is this rookie element on the go and maybe there was a conversation. I don't know this for a fact, so don't quote me, but maybe they were like, yeah, we need to send a bit of a message and Cam, you're kind of the guy. So let's go.
I love it.
Rookie hazing.
Yeah, go stick your neck out for us, please. All right, cool. Well, here's what we're going to do. I want to talk through the odds to be the top scorer for each one of these teams. But quickly, we're going to take a break and hear a word from our sponsors.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back. So it is President's Cup, odds to be the top scorer, and I've got these here from both the U.S. team and the international team. So let's start with the U.S. team, and I'll just read through them very quickly just so we have a starting point here. But Justin Thomas is the favorite to be the top point scorer when it comes to the U.S. team. He is 5-1. Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele 6-1, Dustin Johnson at 7, Patrick Reed at 10, Tony Finau at 12, along with Ricky Fowler and Tiger Woods, they're all at 12-1. Gary Woodland and Webb Simpson and Bryson DeChambeau all at 14, and Matt Kuchar at 20. So to me, this is a lot about just volume and opportunity. Who do you think is going to play the most? Very interested to see that officially Vegas lists Tiger Woods at 12-1, Kyle, because, you know, we've talked about this. He might not play every session because he's in charge. So that to me kind of makes a lot of sense, but You know, someone like Patrick Reed at 10-1, who is, you know, I think he's going to play a whole heck of a lot, or someone like a Webb Simpson, who we mentioned is kind of a dark horse to win this. I think there are a lot of values. Like the point of the U.S. team being so deep is I could almost make a case for any one of these guys to lead the team.
Yeah, I agree. I love Webb at 14. He was so good in Paris. I mean, taking down Justin Rose in Paris on a Sunday with the Ryder Cup on the line, that's sick. That was really underrated. I think the other thing is, like, you look at somebody like Fowler, and it's less to me about Fowler himself and more about, like, because JT is going the distance, right? Yep. JT is going to play every match. And so if JT is like, I want Fowler, well, guess what? Fowler's going the distance too. And so, yeah. If he kind of, I don't want to say latches on there, but if he like partners up with him, gets, you know, 2.5, 3 points, then wins a singles match, and all of a sudden you're like, wait a second, Ricky Fowler's got 4.5 points on Sunday afternoon. So I think that's the other one that kind of sticks out to me just looking at it.
I saw that one too, and you're right. Like through the first four sessions, Fowler and Justin Thomas could have the same number of points because they've won them together or they've lost them together. Right. And then it just kind of comes down to whatever that singles match is, which a lot of it could be luck of the draw. Justin Thomas could draw a hot Adam Scott or a Hideki, and Fowler could get CT Pan or something like that. So I do think it's interesting. Mark, I mean, you mentioned Bryson DeChambeau. If you think he's going to run out there five times at 14-1, he is someone that would certainly want to be one of my investments.
You don't win the U.S. Amateur by accident.
That's true.
It's one of the most grueling events there is. I mean, you've got 36 holes a match play, then stroke play, I should say, to qualify. And then you have to go head-to-head against a number of guys that are playing well at the time, and they play these on difficult golf courses. So he does have the match play pedigree. I would certainly give him a little bit of a look. But I've got my eye on Gary Woodland, personally, yeah. And the guy is playing great. He played well, but for like four holes down at the Hero World Challenge, and similar sort of conditions. And it's all with Woodland because we know he strikes it great, but there's been a massive uptick in the short game underneath Pete Cowan, and then the putting underneath a noted putting instructor from the United Kingdom. So I think the way he's striking it, the way Gary Woodland is putting it, I would keep my eye on Gary Woodland for the week too.
Yeah, that's interesting. He did stumble out of the gate on Sunday there, or I guess it was Saturday at the Hero World Challenge. So used to saying Sunday is the final round, but was able to right the ship so quickly. He can make birdies in bunches. I do like that. Now, the good news is, you know, we'll know who's going to be playing that first session. And, you know, four of these guys aren't going to play on day one, which means, you know, they're going to be behind the eight ball on gathering points. So if you are actually, making an investment, you'd probably be best off just kind of waiting to see what those matchups are going to be out of the gate. Might give you just a little bit of an extra edge. Let's jump over to the international team here real quick. Hideki Matsuyama, 4.5-1 to be your top international scorer. Adam Scott, 5-1, Louis at 6, Mark Leishman, Sung Jae, and Cam Smith all at 8, Joaquin Niemann, 14-1, Hao Tong, Adam Hadwin, Abraham Answer, all 18-1, Benny Ahn is 14-1 as well, missed him, and then CT Pan, this was kind of the most interesting thing, you know, on the U.S. team, the odds jump from Bryson at 14 to Kuchar at 20 as the last guy. This goes from 18-1 to CT Pan all the way down at 35-1. Kyle, I know you're a big Sungjae guy, as am I. To me, the value here, I think, lies in Cam Smith at 8-1, just because I expect him to play quite a bit. He can find success in Australia. I think his game translates to Royal Melbourne. And again, for me, it's a lot about opportunity.
Yeah, I love the I like Cam Smith. I don't know if I like him as much as I did 24 hours ago.
After the target he just put on himself.
Yeah, that's tough to go back that up. I mean, I love his game. I think he's just fantastic. I think he's a great player. But I'm going to go Ben on here at 14-1. You know, we talked earlier about just good ball striking, great iron play. He's one of the best. The putting is – you know, it is what it is. I'm interested to see who he gets paired up with, because that'll affect – I mean, that affects the majority of you know, who the top scorer is. So, I picked – Mark and I did a show earlier, and I picked Ben on as my top international scorer. So I'm gonna stick with that, with him at 14-1. I think it's also easy to see the storyline of, like, hey, you know, maybe it was good for Jason Day to bow out and let Ben, you know, like this whole like, oh, Ben On comes in and scores 3.5 points and he carries the international team. I think that storyline is definitely in play, and I think could play out in Australia this week. By the way, do you think there was a did Gary Woodland have to pay a tariff on his ball flight getting into Australia? Because it is illegal. It should be illegal. He shouldn't be allowed to like cross countries with it.
Yeah, he's not human. Some of those shots he hit, like he's the best like shot tracker, whatever it's called, top tracker technology. He's like the best guy to watch. I could watch that all day. Now, see, this is what's interesting, Mark. You're a vet. I was expecting more out of Kyle on this because you could have just not picked Ben On, picked someone else, and claimed you were right. You would have had two chances to claim you were right on two different platforms. That's such a rookie move to take the same guy in both spots.
I'm a man of integrity.
But he's also the guy that's going to the grave with Jordan Spieth. Huh?
That's true. All right. So Mark, I mean, this international team to me is really, I see wild card after wild card here. I don't know, you know, I can make a case for a lot of these guys. Like I said, I like Cam Smith. I think Benny On is interesting, but what I think we might see is whoever gets hot early, and we've seen this in the past where even like a captain's pick, I forget what year it was, but J.B. Holmes was a captain's pick 1 year. You know, he wins his first match, so he gets sent out there again. He wins his second match. Then he goes out there and he plays again. Like, if you lose your first match, you might take a seat the next time. So a lot of this might just come down to whoever the hot hand is. But do you see any one of these guys that could kind of come out of this group as the top scorer?
I do indeed. And just to sort of revisit the CT Pan thing, I was on the call a couple of years ago in Liberty National up in New Jersey. I mean, in the shadow of New York City, and the Americans opened up the proverbial can on the international. And there was a guy called Jonathan Vegas, who no one expected, who became basically the lightning rod for the international team. And he, I think, if memory serves, earned the most points, and he saw action in every session. So I'd be a little circumspect when I was looking into numbers like this. But that being said, there's a guy who's going to see action in 5 matches. He's been spectacular this year. He's super consistent. He puts the eyes out of the thing. He's currently 6th, I think it is, on the PGA Tour. And I think he's got a pretty cool potential partner in Ben On. So I think the Sungjae Im Ben On combination.
Yes.
and they've got similar games. They complement each other. They speak the same language, which is a big deal, okay? Because communication is crucial. And flow of communication is crucial. It's not like I speak broken English to you and you sort of nod your head like Adam's Hideki Matsuyama a few years ago at Memorial at Muirfield Village. I mean, I joked with Adam. He goes, look, great shot is kind of the universal language. So that's all I say all day long. But these guys are comfortable. So I'm going with Sungjae Im, and I feel like he's going to play with Ben On. So maybe at the end of the day, Kyle and I will be a matchup for most points earned.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys. I'm all for renaming this podcast like the Sungjae Im Pod. Like, I just, the love in my heart cannot be described for this guy. He's so good. So here's what we've got on tap for this week. We're going to come at you with reviews after each round. So this is our last chance. I want to get us on the record for what we think the final score for this is going to be. So I'll go first here. I'm going to stick with the U.S. being victorious when they come through this on Sunday, but I think it's going to be, you know, we talked about this. It can look a lot closer at times. I'm going to go with US 17, International 13, and that is my official pick for this week. Kyle, what say you?
Kyle, speechless again.
He's so speechless.
You got it.
Sorry, I muted the groundskeepers there. That was my fault. I'm going to go US 16-14. So a little tighter. I don't know that it'll ever be like in doubt, but I think it'll certainly be more fun just because of the risk reward nature of Royal Melbourne that we talked about earlier. I think this President's Cup will be a lot more fun than the last one was. At least I hope it is if I'm staying up until 2 a.m. watching it.
That's a good point. We're just for our own viewing pleasure. We hope it's tight. All right, Mark, wrap us up here. What do you think? What's your final prediction for this President's Cup?
Okay, this is the romantic in me. You know,
do it
at the Amstel Perfect finish before. You know what? In fan courts, President's Cup over in South Africa many moons ago. It ended up tied, and you had the final match, the playoff match in the gloaming there, and Tiger buries the putt, and Ernie holds on top of him, and then the next thing, Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus are calling up President Bush in the tie. Okay. I'd like to see 15-15, and you said there's extra holes, right?
No, there's no extra holes. They split it.
Well, I'd love to see 15-15 splits. Because
you want to see a tie?
I have divided interests, Kyle. Remember, I'm South African, but I'm also American. One of those. So I'd love to see it, but that being said, let me switch off my romantic and say the United States are just too strong. I think the internationals will put out a manful, gameful performance and do the tournament some justice. And sort of bring some allure back to the tournament. But I think the Americans are just too big, and they pull it out 17-13.
All right. There it is. A tie would get you 14-1 on your money at the Westgate, Mark, if you're interested. But we are now all on the record. And we're interested to hear what the listening audience thinks is going to happen. So let us know. Leave us a review with who you believe is going to be winning in Melbourne and why. I'm sure it'll be 5 stars. Or you can tweet us. Get at Kyle. It's at Kyle Porter CBS. You can reach Mark at Mark_Immelman or shoot me a note. It's at Rick Run Good. We'll talk to you guys very soon.
I can't believe Mark picked a tie. That's unbelievable.
Original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.